WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Oh, everybody, the weekend's upon us, and it looks to be a lovely one. Here's something you can do outside with friends and get a big dose of culture. Art Hiding in New York, An Illustrated Guide to the City's Secret Masterpieces, is a new book by curator and writer Lori Zimmer that offers tips on where to find outside works by some of the masters. Many of the works depicted in the book may be things that you've walked by on your busy commute without ever noticing, from a light installation in a downtown subway station to the facade of a building in Gramercy. The book also offers a detailed history of each work profiled, as well as tips on where to find elements of the living history of the city, including where certain artistic greats have lived and worked over the years. The result is a colorful and unexpected exploration of what many consider to still be the cultural capital of the world, COVID be darned, our beloved New York City. I'm pleased that it brings Lori Zimmer to the show. Lori, welcome to All of It.
Hi, Allison. Thanks so much for having me.
And listeners, if you want to get in on this, you can give us a call and shout out your favorite hidden artistic treasure in the city. If you have one, our number is 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280, or you can tweet to us at All of It WNYC if you have a favorite hidden artistic treasure in the city. So, Lori, let me ask you, how did you come to start documenting the city's hidden masterpieces?
Well, about 10 years ago, I have a classic story of I was fired and my real life began. And so I was fired from my gallery job and just started walking around the city because I finally had time to do so. And noting and taking down like interesting sculptures and facades, and just my curiosity peaked. And since I had time, I just started researching it. And very admittedly dorky, I put everything into a spreadsheet. Little did I know that 10 years later it would become this book, but here we are.
Now, the book is actually full of illustrations, these beautiful illustrations, rather than pictures of the work themselves, they're drawings.
Yeah.
What were the drawings trying to capture? What went into that decision?
Well, I feel I own a lot of guidebooks, a lot of art history books, and although historical photographs are amazing and informative, I really wanted to tap into people's imaginations because a lot of the topics in the book are things that once were, where artists lived. Like, obviously, you can't go inside of these private residences. So I thought that illustrations would kind of let people be more like get away with their imaginations and imagine what it was like rather than the straightforward photographs.
Let's dive in. You dedicate several pages to Keith Haring and his murals. Why did Haring believe in public murals?
Haring, he was just an amazing person. Like, much of his whole work was about giving back to the community, whether it was trying to get out the word to make people aware of the AIDS crisis and to be safe, or to be safe in regards to drugs and the crack epidemic. So I thought that he deserved several pages since he left such a mark on the city in this his very short life. And a lot of his pieces you can visit now. You don't even have to go into the museum. You just walk by the pool and you can see it. It's that he deserved that.
Where are two locations people can check out?
So the Carmine Street Pool, you can't go inside the pool, obviously. It's also winter, but you can view it from the street. And there's this huge mural that is a bunch of mermen and fish and dolphins all playing about. And then also there's a piece in the LGBT center that people can go in and make an appointment to see that's in a bathroom, which is now a meeting room. And anyone can go. You just have to contact them and set it up, I guess, during COVID.
And where's a big old mural that I can check out, an outdoor mural?
An outdoor mural? If you want to head up to Harlem, I actually just went a couple of days ago to pay a visit to the Crack is Whack mural. The Parks Department and the Herring Foundation, they maintain it. So it's still, like, whenever it's outside. So if it gets weathered, they restore it every few years. It's really beautiful. It's on an old handball court.
Well, let's go underground. Roy Lichtenstein took on creating a massive piece to match the scale of Times Square subway station. Where can people find this piece? I mean, I think people recognize his style, that sort of super stylized cartoon, like very 40s kind of with the dot matrix sort of painting style. Where can people find this piece?
I also love just to tap into that 1940s, their view of like the future and the space age future is really captured in this piece as well. It's, you just have to swipe your Metro card right in the Times Square MTA station. It's also called Times Square. It's right there for everybody to see. That's one of my favorites because it's so dynamic and it captures a lot of movement. And obviously not during COVID times, that station is so, so, so busy. So I think it reflects the people with his big, bold mural.
Let's take a call. Stan is calling in from Forest Hills on line one. Stan, thanks for calling All of It.
Good morning.
Good morning. What do you want to tell us about? What's secret?
Well, you know, one of the greatest secrets and surprises in New York that has been in New York for more than 40, 50 years is a Michelangelo. It is a statue, a small statue. It's been sitting, I think, in the French Culinary Institute or some French thing. I remember going to see it, and I walked in, and you're only allowed to look at it, but you can't stay because they're very secretive about it, and it is. It's been put in a book about Michelangelo. It's up near the Metropolitan Museum of Art, a couple of blocks away. It's a French, either the Culinary Institute or the French, some French thing. I forgot the name of it. But I was, and they said yes. This, it's been proven to be a Michelangelo. It's a small little statue that he did not finish, and it was not exhibited at the Met because they didn't want to do it. They didn't. But it is a Michelangelo. It's been there for so many years. Nobody knew it until some people, experts, looked at it and said, "You know, it is a Michelangelo."
It's for real. Stan, thank you so much, and good afternoon to you, sir. Our number is 646-435-7280. If you have any hidden artistic treasure in the city you'd like to share with the rest of the listeners, my guest is Lori Zimmer. Her book is called Art Hiding in New York, an illustrated guide to the city's secret masterpieces. All right, I want to stay in the subway for a little bit. Bleecker Street,
okay.
Six train stop. There is a light installation.
Oh my.
Who is the artist here? And how
Leo
does
Villarreal.
And how does it relate to its surroundings?
Well, it's called Hive, and it's funny. I find myself in that station almost every day this week, so it's total fate that you're talking about it today. It's called Hive, and it taps into the whole worker bee mentality, worker bee feel. So as we're rising out of the J train up to go to the Uptown 6 train, it's above us and it's changing colors in these hexagonal figures, and you just kind of feel like you're going to morph right into it as you come to the ceiling. It's a pretty cool piece.
And let's try one more in the subway. This is one I see all the time, and it makes me giggle. They make me laugh every time I see the little Tom Otterness statues at 14th Street and 8th Avenue. They're these whimsical little works, these little round sculptured people. Why did the MTA commission these whimsical little pieces for this station?
Well, it's funny, like Tom Otterness initially was only commissioned to do a portion of those, and he just was so inspired by it that he just kept going. So what we're seeing in that whole station are maybe 70% more sculptures than were initially intended. So it's kind of his gift to New York City. And it really does bring, like, you're almost in a cartoon when you're walking around there. There's alligators coming out of sewers in bronze. They're a pair of feet waiting for the subway. It just kind of really relates to the whole life of a strap hanger, but mm-hmm. in cartoon form. I love those.
And they're also hidden. Like, there's the little people will be like behind a staircase. You sort of go by and like, what is that?
Yeah. I love because you're like, the most mundane thing is waiting for the subway, but you get to kind of play a little game and it's like something to discover for you.
Let's go to Emily, who's calling in from Brooklyn online for, hi, Emily. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, I wanted to share, I heard someone share about a moving mural before, but maybe I have misnamed this moving mural, but in my head, it's like a flip book that you see when you're sitting on the Uptown B train going from DeKalb into the city, and you see mm-hmm. this weird shape animation sort of thing, and it has forever made it difficult for me to decide if I want to sit on the north side and watch that or on the south side so I can get the view of the financial district.
Emily, thanks for calling in. My guest is Lori Zimmer, Art Hiding in New York, an illustrated guide to the city's secret masterpieces. If you know of a secret piece of art, public art, that you think people might enjoy knowing about, give us a call. Join the conversation, 646-435-7280. All right, I want to get to some of the masters, some of the great artists okay. that we can see. The Thinker by Rodin. New York City yeah. has a thinker. Where is our thinker?
I know. It's up near Columbia. For the book, we just covered Manhattan because otherwise the book would be thousands of pages long and it was hard to pick. But I thought that Rodin was really important because he's so important to sculpture and we have one of our very own. I want to mention really quickly for the caller that just called in that piece he's talking about is Bill Brand's Mass Transiscope, in case she needed to know the name for that one. But anyway,
appreciate that. Actually, somebody on Twitter said so as well. So she can read it or hear it on the radio. So our Rodin is up at Columbia. And you know, there's a Rodin in the Cleveland Museum of Art. There's one in Tokyo, of course, at the Rodin Museum in Paris. Explain to folks how it's possible for this same beautiful piece of work to exist around the world.
Well, Rodin, like many sculptors that work in bronze, they initially make a piece that's out of wax or clay that can then be cast many times. Generally, seven or less is kind of the accepted amount of addition, although sometimes it's more. So it is the same chisel works and hit the artist's hand is in this piece, even though there are copies, because he makes the original then gets copied in bronze. And that was his intention, to be able to share these pieces around the world, especially, you know, we're talking about a time pre-internet, readily circulated newspapers and magazines. So everyone got to get a piece of it, despite no matter where they were in the world.
All right. There's this interesting sort of controversial Picasso piece, which I've gone by many times, and I had no idea about the controversy. It's down at 505 LaGuardia Place. Would you kindly describe the piece to our listeners and explain why it's been contested by some?
Well, what most people don't realize, and I also did not, I was shocked to learn that Picasso never actually set foot in the United States, which blows my mind because he's so important to art history and our art history, but he never came here. So this piece is called The Bust of Sylvette, and it's a giant poured concrete version of a smaller maquette that he did of this woman, Sylvette. And the original one was shown at the Guggenheim a couple of years ago, and even had one done in cardboard, which somehow survived to this day. So that's part of it, is people are, is this really a Picasso when it's not really made by his hand? But he did work concurrently with this Norwegian artist, Carl Nostar, for much of his life. And Carl is the one that cast that piece. So I guess we could call it a collaboration. The other thing that people are kind of weary about, well, true Picasso nerds, is apparently Picasso did not, Sylvette rejected Picasso's advances. And oh. So many people think that because of this, his works of her lack in the intimacy that other works have. So personally, I think it's an amazing piece. I love to, I pass it all the time. Kids are always playing soccer around it. It's right in the center of some Iampei towers. It's just a beautiful little pocket, like that's always quiet as well, outside of like right by Houston where it's always loud. I love it.
Let's go to Eric, who's calling us from New Haven, Connecticut, on line five. Hi, Eric. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Yeah, I used to live in Astoria, and I joined a CSA, and the pickup was in Ravenswood Houses in one of the lobbies there. And the first time I went, I noticed on the wall there was this mural, and it looked like WPA style. And I looked it up, and sure enough, it was a WPA mural there. It's in pretty rough shape, but you can still see it. And one of the artists who worked on it was Philip Guston. I think he was the one who was working on that. It's kind of a neat little gem to find on the way of picking up my vegetables.
That's awesome.
Love all parts of that story, Eric. Thank you so much for calling in. Now, Mike in Manhattan on line nine knows of a, quote, secret subway mosaic that no one knows about. Okay, Mike, we have an expert on the phone with us, our guest. Let's see.
Okay.
What's the mosaic?
Am I on?
You are.
Okay. Two very quick ones. First, the ceiling at Grand Central Station has a black dot at the end of the ceiling. And it's the one spot that they did not clean to show people how dirty the ceiling was. But the one that I called up about is a mosaic, which was done by the late artist Edith Kramer. It's on the Spring Street Station on the C and the E on the Uptown side. It's a mosaic that she did on her own of the 14th Street Station, the one that has the curved platforms at Union Square. And she tried to give it to the MTA, and they wouldn't take it. And so she simply left it there, and it finally did get installed in the wrong place. It's on the Uptown side of Spring Street on the ANC. And the MTA refuses to acknowledge it. They won't put it in any of their official books, even though they installed it. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Laurie Zimmer's,
I did not know that.
There you go. This is for part two. Laurie Zimmer is my guest, Art Hiding in New York, an illustrated guide to the city's secret masterpieces. I want to get to one more sort of boldface name. You feature two works by Alexander Calder, of course, famous for those mobiles. One is at Gramercy Park, so you can't go in there unless you've got a key. But where can I see the other one?
The other one is on 57th Street, just below the IBM building. And the one in Gramercy Park is a mobile, and this is a staybuilt, which is rooted in the ground, not like floating in the air like his other pieces. And it's called Saurian, and it's supposed to be like a dinosaur lizard character, and you can totally feel it. It kind of roars out over 57th Street at you.
Before we start to wrap up, is there one that you particularly love, one that you always point people towards, one that just sort of has, I know it's hard, it's like asking which is your favorite kid, or just one that you like especially, it doesn't be your favorite, just one that makes you excited.
I always bring people to this particular piece because I find that it's the most surprising. So in the center of Times Square, underneath the subway grates at around 46th Street is a sound installation by Max Neuhaus, and it's supported by the Dia Foundation. And since 1979, pretty much, there were some times when it was repaired, but pretty much continuously since 1979, it's just a low droning sound. And I love to go, I mean, I'm a New Yorker that goes to Times Square. I'm a New Yorker that goes to everywhere because I'm just so interested in it. And I love to watch people discover this piece as they walk over it. Some, you know, they're shocked. Like, is it a broken train? Is it, I don't know. It's just a weird thing to watch people's reactions to this low, like, hum. But it's there 24 hours a day. And I just imagine what that sound has witnessed in Times Square over the last 40 years.
We actually have a clip of Fred Child, host of Performance Today, speaking with Times Square visitors, as well as Kelly Kivlan, curator of the Dia Art Foundation, experiencing this piece. So let's take a listen.
So you're sitting in the middle of Times Square.
Yeah.
What do you hear?
A lot of different languages.
El metro, oigo.
A lot of noise. Is it like a mirage?
That's an interesting question.
What you're hearing right now is Max Neuhaus's Times Square, a sound installation that was first activated in 1977. Below this subway grate of which we stand, he went down and he installed speakers alongside homemade sound generators.
And it's here, 24/7. You can come to Times Square
7 days a week.
Either people discover it or they don't. There's no signs. I almost want to like grab people and say, hey look. Do you hear this thing?
Yeah.
What do you think of this?
Yeah. All right, before I let you go, we only have about a minute left. What is a good way to experience this piece, in your opinion, Lori?
Late at night. I mean, right now, Times Square is kind of amazing in that no one's there because the tourists obviously can't come to town. But my favorite thing is late at night because it's just so eerie with the lights, and it feels like daytime and it feels otherworldly. And the sound just kind of goes perfectly with that otherworldly experience and feeling right in the middle of the city.
The name of the book is Art Hiding in New York, an illustrated guide to the city's secret masterpieces. Thank you to callers for calling in with your recommendations, and thanks to you, Lori Zimmer.
Thanks so much, Allison.
This is All of It.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.